Welcome. Welcome to America Trends here on the U2 America TV network and to our listeners on Biz Talk Radio. I'm Amy Fuller. Glad to have you along for the hour. We've got some great stories and guests coming up. We are going to be talking about your pets, protecting them in this icy, icy cold weather that 75% of the population is dealing with right now. I mean, even letting them out to do what they need to do out there. Dogs have come in and had their feet just frozen. So you may want to rethink letting them out altogether. And if you haven't brought your pets in, if they're outside dogs, man, your neighbors are probably calling the cops on you by now. But John Van Zanny, pet expert, will be in with some tips on all that and what to do if you have a new pet coming into the household. Dr. Michael Mantel will be here also to talk about the power of music in healing, our soul, depression, dementia, cancer. Some new stories and studies and evidence that is going to be so interesting to hear about from Dr. Mantel. Also, Senator Ted Harvey of Colorado, he is the head of the Committee to Defend the President, large pro-Trump PAC. We're going to talk about some of the political headlines of the day, some of the Democrats throwing their hats into the race for president 2020. And also this, the governor of Virginia has jumped into the abortion debate and wants to increase access to so-called third trimester abortions. Ralph Northam, following the lead of New York Governor Andrew Cuomo, is supporting a radical bill by Virginia House Delegate Member Kathy Tran there in Virginia. And people are reacting on Twitter and beyond and just cannot believe what they are hearing. It would allow a mother to get an abortion at the very end of her third trimester, seconds before delivery, and that is not all. Take a listen.
If a mother is in labor, I can tell you exactly what would happen. The infant would be delivered. The infant would be kept comfortable. The infant would be resuscitated if that's what the mother and the family desired. And then a discussion would ensue between the physicians and the mother. So I think this was really blown out of proportion.
But was it? Hear more of his remarks and what he got wrong about that bill. Coming up, we're going to talk to Senator Harvey about it and hear the whole conversation so you can hear with your own ears what the governor of Virginia said about late-term abortion. Near record lows for much of the Midwest again Thursday. The polar vortex, of course, at least 8, possibly 9 deaths linked to all this cold, including the death of a University of Iowa student who was found behind an academic hall on Wednesday. And then this, people are reporting what they call frostquake. Lots of booms. Has to do with all the physics of ice, expanding, contracting, all that stuff. And look at this. So much amazing ice art all over social media, all over the Midwest. People are just sharing just the neatest things. It's scary and deadly, but beautiful in its might, I guess you could say. Natural gas customers in some areas are being asked to set their thermostats as low as 60 degrees due to gas shortages. And just some neat video, too. Check out Park Avenue, New York City, a little bit. Pretty interesting video there blowing around. Park Avenue from New York One weather. Just days you want to be inside, right? My goodness. To the White House now. President Trump is sending more troops to the southern border. He answered questions today in the Oval Office after signing his Buy American executive order and reiterated in a video message that he will get that wall.
Open borders are very bad for our country. Crime comes in, drugs, human trafficking, so many things. But let's talk about human trafficking. You can't bring women or children through a port of entry where you have people looking into the back of a car, a van, a truck. It has to go out into the open areas where they drive into our country like there's no problem. And that's exactly what they do. They get off the main drag or the main road, they make a right or a left, and then they come right into our country. They go through areas where there is nobody. We need a border wall. If we don't have a wall to stop them, nothing's going to stop them. This isn't about technology, and this isn't about politics. This is about practicality, and it's about security for our nation.
A message released Thursday morning. We're going to talk more about border security with Ted Harvey after this. Stay here. You're with America Trends. Glad you are here. We are joining Senator Ted Harvey out of Colorado, former state senator, now head of the largest pro-Trump PAC in America. And boy, political headlines always, always trending, and just so many of them. Senator Harvey, welcome back. How are you?
I am great. Thank you for having me on.
So there's a lot to talk about, some of the Democrats who are throwing their hats into the ring and some of the things they are saying. But so much of the talk in recent days and weeks has been starting with New York, the late-term abortion push. And they say they're relaxing a woman's right to deal with her own body and all kinds of things like this. But other people are calling it infanticide, some of the details that are coming out. And then we had this new bill being brought forth in Virginia. Did you hear some of the governor's remarks from this week?
I did. It's horrendous. And it is infanticide. This is one of the issues that I've been fighting against for decades. In Colorado, I carried the Born Alive Infant Protection Act that said that if a child was born alive, that you had to protect their civil liberties. And even then, when Republicans were in control of the House and the Senate here in Colorado, I couldn't get it passed. And now you see the Democrats all across the country pushing these kind of radical bills all of a sudden. And I would ask the American people, why are the Democrats doing that? Why? What's the big issue that they feel they need to push this right now? And I would argue it is the Democrats' efforts to develop a narrative going into Ruth Bader Ginsburg leaving the Supreme Court. And they know they're going to have a fight on their hands to protect Roe v. Wade from being limited in scope, and the Democrats want to start developing that narrative moving forward.
Senator, I've thought the same thing. This all goes with them trying to produce a narrative that rejects that a baby is human and tries to push it farther, farther back, when we know just recently in Iowa, preemies, twins were born at 4 months old, viable, alive, living to this day. So these Democrats who are all about the science, why are they ignoring it? Again, they're being hoodwinked. They're trying to hoodwink us into thinking this is real. And it's like we're being gaslighted. It's like, what are you talking about? Really look up what infanticide is. So we're going to take a listen to the exact remarks that the governor made. This is the governor of Virginia, Governor Ralph Northam, discussing a third trimester abortion bill. Listen.
When Fairfax County Delegate Kathy Tran made her case for lifting restrictions on third trimester abortions, as well as other restrictions now in place. And she was pressed by a Republican delegate about whether her bill would permit an abortion, even as a woman is essentially dilating, ready to give birth. And she answered that it would permit an abortion at that stage of labor. Do you support her measure and explain her answer?
Yeah, and I wasn't there, Julie, and I certainly can't speak for Delegate Tran, but I will tell you first thing I would say, this is why decisions such as this should be made by providers, physicians, and the mothers and fathers that are involved. There are, when we talk about third trimester abortions, these are done with the consent of obviously the mother, with the consent of the physicians, more than one physician, by the way. And it's done in cases where there may be severe deformities, there may be a fetus that's non-viable. So in this particular example, if a mother is in labor, I can tell you exactly what would happen. The infant would be delivered. The infant would be kept comfortable. The infant would be resuscitated if that's what the mother and the family desired. And then a discussion would ensue between the physicians and the mother. So I think this was really blown out of proportion.
I mean, what is he even talking about? And again, some of the Twitter tweets we showed you in earlier in the program. And Senator Harvey, people cannot believe what they're hearing. And I'm not sure he even has a grasp on just what the bill is. Some lawyers who looked at it carefully have said this has nothing to do with birth defects or if they're viable. And it's legally and constitutionally troubling, to say the least.
Well, he knows exactly what the bill says, and that's why this is so horrendous. This is what the Democrats, this is who the Democrats are, that the leadership of the Democrat Party is in 2019. And I think most Americans look at those comments and they are they're disgusted by it. And I think that is what's going to result in millions of people leaving the Democrat Party and becoming unaffiliated or going all the way over to the Republicans, because they're looking at that situation and saying, I'm sorry, that may be what the radical leftists think today, but that's not the Democrat Party of my parents, my grandparents, and that's certainly not me. And they're going to walk away and go unaffiliated, go Republican. And the Democrats are doing this not just on life. They're doing this on environmental issues. They're doing this on radical homosexual efforts. Everything that they are pushing right now is literally pushing the envelope of the most disgusting philosophies that we've ever seen. And it's coming from the leaders in the Democrat Party. And I think that's a shame for our country, and it's certainly a shame for the Democrat Party.
But don't you worry that the constituency is being pushed and hoodwinked so farther and farther to the left, to these extremes, that they might start to believe, oh, well, if they say it's okay to do this, I mean, why are we even talking about deciding after a baby is born whether or not to let it live? What is going on?
The Democrats have been pushing this, like I said, for decades. And when I try to push the bill here in Colorado, we had Planned Parenthood coming in saying that is if it is the intent of the mother for the baby to be murdered, then the doctors have to go forward with that. And even after the baby is born alive, it is now becoming that, you know, that was kind of a fringe position that Planned Parenthood took back to 15, 20 years ago. Now that is the mainstream position of the Democrat Party. And I think, again, it goes back to Ruth Bader Ginsburg being removed from the bench, either through retirement or because she passes away. And that is why the Democrats are developing this narrative to try to make abortion be the number one issue, because they won't be able to go after Justice Amy Barrett because of some kind of sexual impropriety.
Justice Amy Barrett is the one that it's supposed will be named by Trump as the next Supreme Court justice.
She's one I hope is. Okay. Yeah. And she's very strong Catholic, and she's very strong pro-life, and she's very strong sanctity of marriage between one man and one woman. And the left are going to freak out if she becomes the nominee. And that is why they're setting this narrative on pushing the extremes on abortion.
Well, we're going to talk more about Ruth Bader Ginsburg, because I think you're so right about that. And by the way, Roe v. Wade is silent on if the baby in the womb is a person. But I will tell you, lawfully, if a mother carrying a child is killed and she and the fetus die, it's a double homicide. We know that. A child in the womb can own property. What do you think? Let us know what your thoughts are on Twitter. Come see us, and we'll be back with Ted after this. Back with Senator Ted Harvey, former Colorado State Senator, now head of the largest pro-Trump PAC in America, the Committee to Defend the President. Go to their website if you want to check it out, find out more, possibly support it. And we're always glad to have Senator Harvey's thoughts. He follows all these political headlines, and we're going to talk about the Democrats throwing their hats into the ring. And we've been talking about this whole issue. You know, it's so people say don't talk about religion, politics whatever, mixed company, whatever they say. But I mean, abortion's the thing that is such a hot-button issue for so long anyway. It's the 40th anniversary of Roe v. Wade, and now all this is coming up. And I feel like we're really teaching our younger generations and people who might not really be paying attention to politics yet might not know about Margaret Sanger and why she started the policies and corporations that became Planned Parenthood, because she wanted to eradicate black children. Look it up and find out about it so you are a little bit educated about what the Democrats are trying to do right now. And by the way, Ted, I'm sure you're well aware that we pay all this money for Planned Parenthood, and they're a Democratic arm, and they give all the money back to the Democrats so they can run. I don't know how our country got to this point.
Well, it infuriates me that the Republican Party, who was controlled for the last 2 years while President Trump was in office, could have easily defunded Planned Parenthood, and they didn't do it. They continued to send hundreds of millions of dollars to Planned Parenthood, who then turns around and gives hundreds of millions of dollars to Democrat candidates. Why are you and I funding our enemy? And certainly, why is the Republican Party funding our enemy? We need to stop funding Planned Parenthood, and we need to be pushing our Republicans and holding our Republicans accountable for doing so.
Oh, the Democrats say it's about women's reproductive health, but I beg you to look up again. Margaret Sanger, hopefully you know the name, viewers, and her legacy of racism and eugenics, something called eugenics,
right,
which I hope you also know about. So
right,
to be continued, you know, and it's not part of a woman's body. It's got its own DNA, the baby, DNA, own blood type. It's another human being. So, again, thought the Democrats were paying attention to science. Guess not. A good thing to report, though, Senator, I don't know if you've heard about the governor in Ohio, my home state, Mike DeWine, said last week he will absolutely sign a controversial heartbeat bill that former Governor Kasich vetoed last month. This would make abortions illegal once that fetal heartbeat can be detected. So it's nice to hear some good news.
Praise God. That's exactly right. And Roe v. Wade allows that. Roe v. Wade allows states to regulate abortion back to the first trimester. So when everybody is saying they're defending Roe v. Wade, they're defending Roe v. Wade to allow post-birth abortion, that's just ridiculous. Roe v. Wade was never, ever considered to give the doctors and the mothers the ability to kill late-term babies, you know, 7-pound babies. One of the greatest things I ever saw was when Rand Paul was running for president and the Democrats ran to Hillary Clinton and said, what do you think of Hillary Clinton? What do you think of Rand Paul's support of stopping abortion even at conception, or defending life even at conception? And she said, well, I think you should go and ask him that. Why is he saying, what about rape and incest and all this stuff? And Rand Paul finally shot back and said, when she answers the question of why she wants to murder 7-pound babies, then I'll answer the question about why I want to defend life at conception. And that is what this debate is. We are not the radicals because we're pro-life. The Democrats are the radicals because they want to kill 7-pound babies. And let's have that debate with the American people.
And it says, woe to those who call good evil and evil good. And you just, these times, we just get pushed further and further. But
yep.
Back to Ruth Bader Ginsburg. It's been weeks since we've had an update on her condition.
She was 56 days. Today is the 56th day since we ever saw Ruth Bader Ginsburg. And if she is truly healthy and just relaxing after cancer surgery that she had over a month and a half ago, step out on the front steps and wave to the American people and let us know that you are healthy and okay. I would argue the reason why we haven't seen her is because she is not healthy and okay. It's been 56 days today since we've seen her. I believe the American people should demand that we know what is happening with one of nine Supreme Court members, one of the most powerful legal body in the world, that has huge impacts on every American. We need to know why they are not letting the American people know what her health status is.
A political party desperate to not let Trump have another Supreme Court justice named. And 56 days since she's been seen, but to be fair, just a few weeks back, she was gone on a Monday, then a Tuesday, and then they finally said in 25 years in the position, she'd never missed, and never missed oral arguments, but she was missing. And then finally they said, okay, she's out, she's recovering, she's going to be working from home, and she's taking all next week off. That was about 2 weeks ago. So
yes,
we've heard no updates since.
And she was supposed to be in California this week for an event, and she canceled that. And then she's supposed to have another event next week, and they've canceled that as well. If she's working at home, like they argue that she is, then just have her step out on the front porch and wave to the American people and say, everything's okay, I'm just resting up and I'll be back in the court next week. That is not what is happening, and the American people deserve to know what her health status is.
Right. Theories will abound until they give us some sort of answers and a resolution to just how her health is and if she can, in fact, continue doing the work that she's supposed to be doing. Let's talk about some of the people. We had Kamala Harris throwing her hat into the ring officially as a Democratic presidential candidate for 2020. Then CNN gave her a big love fest, town fest, town hall Monday night. Can she do it? Can she get the nomination or maybe become, there you go, Joe Biden's vice president?
I don't think she'll be Joe Biden's vice president. I think he might be hers. I do believe that she will win the Democrat nomination. I think
you
having
do?
An African American
okay.
woman.
But is she? Isn't her father Jamaican and not African American? And she's not really correcting anybody who says he's African.
I'm not going to split hairs on that issue. If she goes out there and runs, she will have the African American vote, and they will come out for her the same way that they came out for Obama. She's female. She's very bright, very articulate. She's going to win over a lot of the female vote. I think she's going to be a very attractive candidate for the Democrats, and we should not take her for granted.
In the thing she was speaking about Monday night, she's giving away a lot of things. How is she going to push any of these? I mean, it has to do with just math and giving away free stuff till there's nothing left to give.
That's the Democrat Party.
Yeah,
they want to give away everything they possibly can to be able to buy votes. And that's the way that's their modus operandi. That's the way they've been for the last 30 years. And that's the way they're going to continue. Problem is, like Margaret Thatcher said, socialism only works until you run out of other people's money.
Yeah.
And we are there. We don't have any more money. We are at the tipping point with our deficit. And the Democrats do not want to be honest and realistic with the American people about how bad our financial situation is. And we've got to stop this radical spending binge that the Democrats are on.
Hey, 20 seconds, Senator. Can you tell us again your website and how we can support you?
Thank you. Yep. The Committee to Defend the President.com is our website, Committee to Defend the President.com, or they can go to our Facebook page, which is Committee to Defend the President. And we've got about 900,000 followers there. We'd love to have 1 million. So have all your viewers go there and click like and follow us on that webpage, on that Facebook page.
We sure will. Senator Ted Harvey, thank you for being here. We appreciate you being a friend of the show. We'll see you next time, okay?
Thank you. God bless. Have a great week.
You as well. The Power of Music coming up next with Dr. Mantel. I know you ain't afraid about this. Don't you feel good already? Is there any doubt that music can affect us, affect our moods, our, you know, when it affects your mind, it can start having a good physiological effect on you. And so you see these things about how music can help people with cancer, dementia, depression. And our friend of the show, Dr. Michael Mantel, has tallied some of these studies. And he's with us tonight to take a look at just how helpful it can be and why. What's the science behind it, Doc? Welcome back to America Trends. Author of The Link Is What You Think, by the way. And don't sweat the small stuff. P.S. It's all small stuff.
Right.
Always glad to have you.
Good to be here again. So let's dive in real quickly. Music selectively activates neurochemical systems and brain structures in a way that activates our ancient reward system and floods us with dopamine and oxytocin and serotonin and endorphins. So from the earliest times, with the rowers rowing to the beat of the Roman gallery.
Biblical, too. The angels singing. That's what we're going to be doing in heaven for the rest of our days, according to the Bible.
Let's hope.
Right. And so it's so neat when you see this, that it's so pervasive and so inclined to be part of who we are.
Absolutely.
And what makes us be healthy and have a good, healthy mind, too, all of that.
So studies have found that cyclists who cycle to the beat of a marching band cycle better, faster, use about 7 to 10% less oxygen. People in surgical procedures who listen to music before, during, and after do better, less anxiety than people who don't listen to music. The Mozart effect, it's called the Mozart. College kids, listen to 10 minutes of Mozart, 10 minutes of a relaxation tape, and just 10 minutes of waiting. Go take an IQ test. Guess who had higher points?
Oh, really?
The list goes on and on and on. We know that that music is a lethal performance-enhancing drug.
Lethal performing-enhancing drug. I like that.
For fitness and exercise, and no side effects. It gives you a 10 to 15% increase in your performance. When you listen to slower music, it adds about 10 to 15% relaxation. So I will read just one thing from Plato. Plato said that music gives a soul to the universe, wings to the mind, flight to the imagination and life to everything.
That's why Plato's Plato.
And Billy Joel said, I think music in itself is healing.
Yeah.
I must tell you, yesterday, you know the weather all around most of the country? Mm-hmm. So in Swartz Creek, Michigan, they closed school. How do you think they told the kids school was closed?
I don't know.
They went on television. The police commissioner and the head of education got dressed up and sang, school is closed today. And they sang this whole song because music touches us.
Hmm.
The fact is that it is an amazing chemical reaction.
Mm-hmm.
And so I want to put up a couple of slides to show people where and how music can absolutely impact us. Music and our well-being. The fact is that music reduces stress, it improves mood. Studies show that listening to music increases well-being. Listening to slow tempo, low pitch, no lyrics has been shown to reduce stress. It improves our immune system. It helps our memory with Alzheimer's, recall, seemingly lost memories, and even helps maintain some mental abilities.
You know, each one of those points is just so profound that you could spend a segment on each and every
Absolutely,
one.
Right? So let me show you one other slide, and look at that. Now, music is broken down to beats per minute.
Mm-hmm.
So people who, for example, enjoy running need to find music that's about 90 to 100 beats per minute. And just as an example, like Deep Purple, Highway Star is 174. Christina Aguilera, Keeps Getting Better, is 130 beats per minute. Eminem is 171 beats per minute. You want to go to sleep? 60 beats per minute. Let's play one song that is by far the most relaxing, soothing song you can ever listen to. Well, let's play that if we can get it right now.
Well, I was going to say while we're waiting, there's a reason why lullabies are lullabies.
Right.
Yeah.
Think of one commercial. Oh, there it is.
That's when you really know a song. And they don't remember that it was someone by Chopin. They say, I heard that on a macaroni commercial.
Exactly. Listen to this. We listen to this kind of music, everything. It takes 5 minutes for the body to get in sync with the rhythm. But when we pick genre, lyrics, tempo, cultural familiarity, it definitely has an impact. Many people use music to relax, but also for fitness, for exercise. Do you think of one person that you know that doesn't run without listening to music?
The iPod was born.
Yeah.
Walkman, all of those.
I just want to share real quick. I put up on Facebook a call for people and say, hey, tell me how you use music. So one person said, I was in choir from fifth grade. This is Susan. I was in choir from fifth grade through 11th grade. Somehow as a child, I knew music was a savior. I stayed singing in my church choir. It's a healer. Then real quickly, Lori says, I need music. I play it all the time at home, soft jazz in my car. I'd be lost without it. It levels me emotionally and soothes my soul. Bless. I run with music. It makes my runs seem shorter. And since I don't do it all the time, it gives me that extra boost. And this is my favorite, Sharon. Music allows me to feel alive. When I'm dancing, the music reaches into my soul and takes over, pushing everything out. Our band kept my girlfriend on the up and up during surgery to remove cancerous lobe on her lung. Mm-hmm. And as a hospice nurse, she knows that it lifts her stress. It reduces her stress every week.
It's amazing.
It goes on and on and on.
The depression and stress issue alone, but when you consider how many people are affected by dementia, and you get these studies and anecdotes of people who they years and years, they don't have a memory, but if you go back to a song they had in their teenage years,
clicks right away.
There's a connection, and people can actually connect with someone that they might have not been able to in even decades, and it's
right.
Pretty magical.
Last night, we were listening to 60s on 6 on Sirius Radio, and they were playing Hang On Sloopy, and my wife Paula said, do you remember that song? And I said, yeah, I do. And she said, remember when our physics teacher said that we were walking behind us and you had your arm around me? And he said, Hey, hang on, Sloopy. I said, I don't remember that. She said, well, the song made me remember. You're talking about that very thing.
Yeah.
Music definitely touches us. When there's no words, music provides the lyrics.
It's so beautiful.
And so I think that for many people today, especially in fitness and working out, we need songs that create tremendous beat, that create a lot of power and gives us that energy. And everyone you talk to will say, that's how I use music. One last slide real quickly, because we want to end on a quieter note.
We got a whole minute to go through. Oh, here's some of your five songs for relaxing. Oh, this is something good to write down.
Right, this is important. We heard a little bit of Marconi Union's Weightless. That's the number one song by far. Eight minutes, magnificent relaxation. I ask everyone who's watching, find it, listen to it tonight before you go to sleep. Elektra, Melomaniac, Enya's Watermark, and Coldplay Strawberry.
Enya.
Enya's great, right?
Yeah, a lot of that.
And
yeah.
Coldplay Strawberry Swing. That covers the best five songs out today for relaxing.
Good. That's so nice of you to assimilate those for us, or write them down, and we've got them right there.
There you are.
We'll throw those up on social media today,
good,
too.
Good.
So follow the doc and give us one of your handles on social media.
Michael Mantel on Facebook, Dr. San Diego on Twitter, or Fitness Psych on Twitter, Instagram, LinkedIn. We're all over the place.
Thank you for giving uplifting things every day on social media. And for the link is what you think. We'll see you next time, okay?
You bet. Thank you.
All right. Back after this.
To keep me warm. I cannot remember the worst December. Just watch those icicles fall.
At the sight of a gorgeous dog and Dean Martin, you could do worse, right? Nothing wrong with hearing Dean Martin. Okay, we've got Gomer right here. Gomer is up for adoption in Southern California, and tonight we are so glad to welcome back our friend of the show, John Van Zanny, a pet expert, and he's with, in Southern California, the Rancho Coastal Humane Society. He's going to have tips on what to do when you're bringing a new pet into the house, and also just dealing with this crazy cold weather that millions and millions in the Midwest are dealing with. And let's see if we can get... There's Gomer.
Here he
is. He's got such a pretty boy.
He's so handsome.
Tell us about Gomer.
Gomer is 7 years old, 48 pounds, male, and our best guess, which seems pretty accurate, is Bulldog and Pitbull mix. All he wants to do is snuggle. He wants to get very close to you. He gave me a little kiss, but usually what he wants to do is get his face just as close as he can get his face, and then like rub his, just so you just feel his whiskers just a little bit. And his kennel at Rancho Coastal Humane Society is right around the corner from my office, so I see him several times every day. But I didn't know how he would do in the car. He jumped right in the car. He laid down. He made himself at home. He was terrific. He's made friends with everybody here at America Trends that he met. But
why are dogs so great?
It's God spelled backwards.
It really is. It's truly a gift from God. And so he's, what would you say, seven?
He's seven. And then in the shelter and rescue world, he's considered a senior.
Yeah.
So his adoption fee is only $75.
$75.
But that includes, he's had his medical exam, behavior exam, vaccinations.
Oh, it's a deal when you pay a fee from a shelter. They've done so much vetting, health, the food, it's all.
Like with these guys, what we have into them before they're adopted is about $350.
Yeah.
And so, but their adoption fee, his is $75. And people say, how do you do that? That's why we do fundraising. But
go to the Rancho Coastal Humane Society site if you'd like to donate. And by the way, wherever you are in America, you can go to petfinder.com.
Yes.
That's a website where you can just put your zip code and what kind of dog you're looking or what kind of animal you're looking for, and even the breed of dog if you're looking for a specific one, and see how close one is to you. So easy. Petfinder.com. Go there and shop if you have room in your heart and your home for a pup. And also, if you're bringing a new dog in the home, just a couple points. People might have gotten some new dogs around Christmas or new pets. What might some of the issues be that they're handling right now, a month in?
Well, first of all, training needs to start yesterday.
Right.
one of the big things when it comes to training, Amy, is consistency.
We need the training more than they do,
we
really.
We do. When my daughter Kate got her dog, she said, Dad, we've had dogs our whole life. I didn't know how much I didn't know until I became a dog mom. But that consistency, as far as a dog is concerned, there's no exception. There's only precedent. And so, like with Gomer, we wanted him up here on the couch with us, so we brought him up. Well, like if we came back in tomorrow and he jumped up on the couch, and we try and tell him no. So our consistency, where do you want him to sleep? What do you want him to eat? Teach them what toys are the right toys for them, which ones are okay for them to play with. One of my friends here in San Diego, 20-year-old dog, 18-year-old son. Son's never known life without that dog.
20-year-old dog? What breed? I have to ask.
Jack Russell Terrier mix.
Oh, little baby.
But she said her son, it is so much a part of his life that when Nicholas gets up in the morning, he gets up, he takes the leash, he goes out, and he does not know life without that as a part of his routine. Again with the dogs, socialization. People get a dog and they can't take it home and they never go anywhere, or they put it in the yard. Then they go out and want to know why it doesn't walk well on a leash.
Yeah.
They want to know why they can't take it to the dog park, why it can't be a part of a play group. And that's because that socialization, teaching them where to go, how to go along, what to play with, and being consistent about it.
So, okay, and right now we're in the Midwest. I don't know what they're doing with their pets who have to go out and do their business, but I know that one reported on Twitter today, they went out for just a moment and they came back, the paw was frozen. She had to work on it, almost take him to the vet to make sure he wasn't getting frostbite. I mean, these are really deadly conditions. And if your pet, for one thing, your pet should not be outside at all for any extended amount of time. But can you speak just on that for a little while?
Well, if it's too cold for us out there, it's too cold for them out there. And why did you get a dog? You got a dog to have a pet who's going to be a part of the family.
Not to throw in the back of the yard with a chain attached.
You've probably seen the Facebook outside about, it's so cold, I feel like I should let him in, and it shows a picture of the lady's husband standing outside.
I didn't see that one.
They're a part of the family. If you're getting a dog to put it in the backyard, why do you have a dog?
Mm-mm.
You get them because this is what you get. You get blessed with this, a companion. And if you're taking a dog and putting it outside, and people go, well, he's a cold weather breed. But you know what? Cold weather breed is still not used to that wind chill of 100 degrees below zero.
And hey, around the doghouse, I'm not by it. Right now with this polar vortex, you just can't. It's too deadly. But I know that just one area in the Midwest they were talking about, the one Humane Society got over 200 calls of people reporting that animals were left outside.
Yeah.
It's mind-boggling.
They just don't get it. One of my friends in Milwaukee sent me something yesterday that said, I don't know what I'm going to do. He refuses to go outside. It's 3 days, and he has to do his business.
Days.
And I said, I said, you know, put on your coat, go out, get there with him. Don't make a big deal out of it. If you relax, maybe he'll relax.
Oh, my spoiled Weimaraners were in California, and I don't know what they'd ever do because a little bit of rain does them in, and they just don't know how to handle it. They look at me like it's my fault. You know how that is.
Yeah, I got that too with Jake last week. I have to go. We took 10 steps outside the shelter of the front door, and he's looking up at me like, what are we doing out here? but with the cold, their paws, people don't think about that. It's the same thing that you and I talk about in the summer when it's hot. If you put your hand down on the pavement and it's too hot.
The 5-second rule, is that what it was?
Yeah. If you can, and the same thing with the cold. And in warmer climates, like here in Southern California, you go across Texas and Florida and the warmer climates, and then you get snow. They don't know what it is. They don't realize that it's dangerous. They go out, they want to run, they want to play, and all of a sudden they realize, I don't have feeling in my paw anymore. Because it's too cold.
They don't know. We have to know for them. So this is Gomer. If you're in Southern California, you can inquire at Rancho Coastal Humane Society's website. If you're all around the country, just petfinder.com is where to look. We're going to go out on Gomer. A little bit of music as we say we're going to come right back. And we're glad you've been with us here on America Trends. Say hi, Gomer.